All right, we all getting settled in? All right, well, it's great to be here. Thank you for joining me at the beginning of the executive track keynote here at SharePoint 14. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the keynote. Good, good, all right, excellent, excellent. And there's a whole bunch of chairs on this side if anyone wants to brave it to that side of the room, FYI. All right, so today I'm going to spend the next, 75 minutes or so, I think they're pushing lunch back so we can all get our topics in, about talking about what's happening with the future of work, kind of playing off of what we talked about this morning. This morning you heard a lot about what's coming in the next year. So I'm going to talk about what's right now and what we're doing, because for many people that is the future. And I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to bring some guests up to talk about what they're doing as well, and then, of course, we're going to show it, because that always is the best, when you actually see what we're doing very specifically. But I'm going to bring it back down to where we are kind of right now. And as I do that, I want to first kind of level set, just to make sure everyone knows when I start talking about cloud productivity, Office 365, SharePoint Online, what does that mean? What am I talking about? Just to make sure we're all on the same page. First of all, it means everything we do and work. We don't have a very narrow view like some other folks do, right, around what productivity means. We have the very, very broadest view. So when we talk about changing work, we mean every aspect of it, not just one piece. And as work changes and as new capabilities emerge, we will be there as well. But as far as today, it certainly includes file management, cloud storage, sharing, as Jeff talked about with OneDrive. Obviously, sites and SharePoint, of course. Yammer and social, but also managing our productivity apps, too. Because now the Office desktop applications are also a cloud service. And I think sometimes when I say that, people think, yeah, I knew about those things you used to call Office web apps. Now they're Office Online. That's not what I mean. I mean Office desktop applications are also now cloud service. And I'll show you, I won't show you. My colleague will show that to you in a little bit. So when I talk about Office 365, that's what I mean, holistically. I'll use it kind of generically, but I wanted to kind of level set what that means specifically. Now I spend the better part of my life talking to many, many, many customers, many of you hopefully did it this week, about what's going on. What are they thinking about in terms of productivity, changing work? How do we move to the cloud? And some key things come up most often that I want to make sure I cover today. First is about making sure that employees are as productive as possible, giving them the best experiences. Users sometimes get used to this patchwork quilt and having to go through heavy processes to get their job done. And it's just not going to work in the future. It's just not how it's not how people are working at home. It's not what they're doing in their personal life. And we have to do that in the professional life as well. It's also about driving teamwork. Very little work gets done by ourselves anymore. It's about how do we drive that greater connectedness, that greater knowledge sharing, that video we saw about working like a network. How do we unlock that? How do we become a more responsive, agile organization? Of course, got to worry about security and compliance. Thanks to Mr. Snowden and a few other people, it matters more than ever. But making sure that we have great tools to do that. But the way we do that is not in a way that disrupts the user, because then people will just work around it. We're very clear on that. So how do we think about and work with our customers on that area? And then, of course, how do I make smarter decisions? End of the day, we're making decisions all the time. There's a great stat that says 90% of the people in organizations are making a business decision every single day, and 10% have access to BI tools. It's completely reversed. We have to flip that around. So conversations with customers all the time of how do I get the information in the right hands of the right people to make smart decisions all the time. So we're going to talk about these and a few other things today, very specifically. And before I do that, I want to kind of step back a little bit too and talk about overall what Microsoft's doing from a cloud service perspective. Because as I talk about Office 365 today, that's actually just kind of one piece of what we're doing holistically. So obviously at the platform level, we have Azure, the great infrastructure as a service, platform as a service that you can build on. And you heard Jeff talk about some of the new development capabilities powered by Azure. Even the new video portal that I showed coming later this year, powered by Azure. So a lot of opportunity potential in that area. But also things like single sign-on, Active Directory management, really important infrastructure layers that will depend on Azure and enable through Azure specifically. And then, of course, Office 365, which I'm going to talk about at length, so I'll just skip right that for just a second. But then the top dynamics and what we're doing in that area in terms of line of business, running smarter business decisions, making smarter business decisions. So holistically, you will see us talk a lot about this, but I want to make sure you're clear on kind of the whole Microsoft cloud stack. And actually, launching today, you'll see we're plastering Vegas, if you ever get out of the casino, with our new advertising campaign. So you'll hear us talk more and more about the holistic Microsoft commercial cloud. With that as context, I want to get into specifically, you know, what does it look like today? Again, Jeff showed you some great stuff. I got to demo some great stuff coming in the next year, but let me talk about what we have today and how we think about it. And it'll make sense with what we showed this morning as well. So first is around making sure that we're building technology that's very human, very natural to work with, and makes virtual experiences as meaningful and as important and as impactful as human experiences in a lot of different ways there. In terms of the social workplace, this is all about how do we get companies, yourselves, and everyone else to work like a network inside the organization, just like we do when we go home in our personal lives. How do we drive those connections and make that happen? Insights, right? How do we make smarter decisions? How do we change that flux of 90% of people making decisions, but 10% of people having the right information? How do we turn that around and democratize BI and access the right data sets and make it accessible, essentially? And then, of course, always making sure we have the responsible empowerment, which means the privacy, security, compliance. And that's in features on-premise, features in the cloud, and features in between, making sure we enable that at all layers. So, spend a little time on natural expression for a second. And when I talk about this, it can mean a whole bunch of things, but there's a few key concepts. And starting at the interface side of it, making sure that everything we build has a great touch experience, has a great mobile rendering. So whatever device I'm on, I have a fantastic experience. Inking. Finally, inking is really broken through. And I'm so happy to see people in the front row not using paper and pen. Thank you. You're actually living the dream in there. Well, except for you right there. But it's always one. But it really becomes possible now because inking works fantastically. Mobile devices. Microsoft's actually getting rid of all of our printers. We're saying we don't need it. We don't need to use paper. It's gone. Because inking and a tablet is a full replacement and a superior replacement, as you'll see soon, too. So great experience there. And making sure that we have great native applications on all of those devices. People have asked us, what's our mobile strategy and what are we doing? Is it browser-based? Is it native app? It's native app. We have great, great native apps. We'll keep building more native apps. We believe that native apps give you the very, very best experience, and we'll do that across all endpoints. Of course, we'll continue to have a great browser experience, too, because you need that for the ones, those are special scenarios, and make those great. But we'll also be really investing in lots of native applications. And then last in this area specifically is about video and video conferencing at work. And how do you make that live? And how do you make that dynamic? And tons of work we're doing between Link and Skype to make it one whole experience across from your living room to the boardroom and have one unified experience that makes it like we're in person. And again, you get to see it on this beautiful device today, too, where you really see between the software and the service and the hardware all come together to light up these incredibly engaging, rich, rich experiences such that you no longer have to travel the globe to get your work done. You can actually just do it here with one of these devices. Now, specifically, as we go into social, we're going to hear a lot about this week, and I encourage you to embrace it and think holistically about what does social mean in the enterprise. And I showed you some of the things this morning about how we're going to embed that in all aspects of what we're doing about Office 365, right? Make it a fabric. But today, there's so many things you can do right now in terms of getting kind of connecting between the front line and the executive offices to find out what's going on in the organization. Because people are willing to share and engage in conversations in a newsfeed that they would never do in different mediums, like email. No one's going to spam your whole organization with a point of view, but you can quickly get that in your company newsfeed and find out what's happening in that area. Also, in terms of making sure that content is shared and you can have it anywhere across all your devices, too, in the cloud and when capable there. And when you have those connections and you have the information wherever you are, that's when you can make the smarter decisions. That's when you can find the person you needed to talk to, the information that you needed, and not worry about whether it's on my hard drive in work or if it's at home. Those conversations are yesterday. We can fix that right now, today. I'm actually going to talk about a couple examples through here, too, to make it real. So the first one is British Airways. And they had a challenge where they didn't have a great connection between the folks kind of working on the planes, on the front lines, and the executive staff. And there was a disconnect in decisions being made. And so they actually took about 40,000 employees worldwide, so a big organization. And they used Yammer. And they implemented that to drive that connection between the organization, between the different, the head office, essentially, and the front lines. And of course, they're in an organization where very few people are sitting in front of a PC, right? They're all on different devices. They had to make sure it was mobile and accessible everywhere. So they actually, when they rolled out Office 365 and Yammer specifically, they actually decided to create an internal video to get their employees engaged and sell it internally. And so I grabbed that video because I thought it would be a little different. Some of you haven't seen, but this is actually what they use to sell their employees and get them on board with using it. So I'm going to play that now. There we go. Snapshot of kind of how one company is using it and the type of things they're getting their employees to engage on. Which I think, but there's so much more potential on that. And again, I can't be more excited about how we think about social and those conversations as a fabric of everything we're doing across Office 365 as we move forward. All right, now making business decisions. Obviously core to what we do and happening every day, all the time. And imagine if people actually could do things and make decisions on data more, like, twice as much, three times as much as they do today versus just a fraction. So there's like a few key aspects of that, right? It's about making sure that people have access to the most relevant information, making sure it's current, making sure they can get it in the sources they have, and then making it accessible, right? We've always had big data. We've had tons of information, right? But it's not necessarily been accessible to very, very many people. As we looked at the BI space in general and what we wanted to invest there, we found a huge delta between the tools being used, the access people had, the ability for the average Excel user, as an example, to get the insights they needed. So we made some big decisions on this front, and we launched our Power BI capabilities for Office 365, and you're gonna see us invest more and more and more in that. I showed you just a tiny bit of what's possible this morning. But the really important piece of it is everything we're doing, the front end of it, is Excel. We know people like Excel. We know familiar with Excel. They like Excel. We don't wanna teach them new tricks, and so we're just making Excel more powerful. We're not going to create another different dashboard, a different UI for them to use, a new tool for them to use. We're just going to build it into the things they're most comfortable with. And that suddenly makes it a much more accessible experience. And then when you layer on things like natural language search and analysis on top of it, like the Power BI Q&A I showed this morning, then literally everybody can use this. It becomes so easy. And there's different scenarios when people think about how we use BI that they're unexpected. One of my favorite customers I've worked with is Trek Bicycles. And they have this lending program where they put bikes on around different cities and you can loan them for the day and ride them around and check them in and out of kiosks. So they actually put GPS systems on the bikes and then they track them using Power BI to know where they are at any one time, make sure that there's any repairs needed. They actually can manage supply flow too, so they can see that one kiosk got a bunch of bikes, but they got a bunch of demand at a different kiosk and they can move them around. So kind of shifting it and making sure they have the right inventory in the right place. Just a fun little example, but something different that you wouldn't think, but it's now possible because of the BI capabilities that we put in Office 365. And certainly, last but not least, is around making sure that everything you do, you have the right protection and controls in front of it. And the key aspect of it, right, we're sitting in the office division, we care about the user, and it's really, really important that as we do security and compliance capabilities, we're gonna make sure that the user has the information they need to understand what's happening. And we're not going to build things in a way that disrupts work. Because we know when you disrupt work with security and compliance, people just work around you. They'll find some sneaky way. Users are clever. And then they put you in more risk, right? They're sending stuff and putting documents who knows where and sending emails through whatever system. So we have to do it in a way that really works for the users, too. We're going to give you all the controls you need. We're going to be in the product, in the service, in the way we deliver the service underneath as well. But make sure it works for the users, too. So it's a really important balance that we're going to always continue to strike. So with that, I'm actually going to, one more video. All right. This is a cool one because it's Aston Martin. What's not cool about that? But they actually moved to Office 365. And a couple of key aspects of this one. One, really, because imagine the kind of IP that Aston Martin has. Incredible. And they were willing to put it in the cloud and make sure it was stayed safe. So we worked with them very closely to make sure it cleared all of the requirements that they had. But the thing in working with them I really thought was fantastic was the change that the IT department had in moving to Office 365. They went from managing servers and patching stuff and keeping things running to actually having strategic conversations with the business partners about how do we move the business forward? How do we make decisions faster? How do we empower people in different parts of the organization? So it really pivoted the way that the IT organization engaged with the business side, which I think is, to me, one of the most exciting parts of cloud productivity overall. So let me roll that video real quick.
Aston Martin is all about power, beauty, and soul. The cars are designed beautifully well. And what I need to deliver from an IT perspective is exactly the same. The Aston Martin IT department that I came into was one that offered support. And what I needed to do was change that to an IT department that offered strategy, offered innovation, offered the ability to change. I'm really, really pleased with how Microsoft have come on board with the Aston Martin vision to help drive that change. The implementation of Office 365 across Aston Martin was incredibly well received and actually was one of the major strategic changes that we made last year.
We wanted a single vendor who could provide all of the tools across our complete infrastructure, whether that be monitoring, deployment, or application hosting. Office 365 is fully managed. We don't have to worry about it. We don't think about storage, capacity planning, external access, or downtime. It's a real luxury for us.
People are mobile. They expect to take their devices with them. They also expect to get every piece of information at any point, at any time.
2 years ago, I was uncomfortable with the bring your own device scenario, but now with Office 365 and Intune, we're able to provide the security and governance to keep our data safe.
In any organization, communication is key. And what we wanted to do with Office 365 is make it very, very simple for people to communicate in whichever format they wish. Because people are different, and people like to communicate in different ways. And what Office 365, through email, through link, through presence management allows you to do is make that choice.
Office 365 has allowed us to set up SharePoint online site to share data with third parties, such as engineering companies, legal offices, and application providers as well.
What I want to do with Office 365 is to enable the decision makers to make their decisions and make them quickly and make them with the right information in their pockets.
Microsoft really are a true partner for Aston Martin. We have a strategic relationship and we're really beginning to experience now the benefits that that relationship has brought.
What really drives me as the head of IT for Aston Martin is what comes out of the door every single day. If we can help that grow, why would I not be happy doing what I'm doing?
Example. And I just love that they used all aspects of it and really took advantage of moving to the cloud holistically and changing what they did with their business. And unfortunately, we didn't get to ride in the cars when we did that video, but it was good. I know, next time. All right. So again, I want to make it real. I want to make it real in terms of what we're doing and what's possible today, right now. So I'm going to actually invite up a colleague of mine who we've worked together for many, many years now. Come on up, Joe. Joe Honan. And actually, in a former life, I had the pleasure of running the exchange business when we very, very, very first started our Office 365 journey about, 7 years ago now? And Joe was a partner back at the time then. And at the very beginning of the cloud journey, it was all about email, right? Just email, email, email. But now I've come so far, which is so great. And I've been working with Joe over the years to see your entire business, too, shift from being just an exchange on-prem business to being a big, broad Office 365 business. So I wanted to ask Joe a few questions. Come over here a second so I can see what we're going to talk about. Perfect. So you've been under this long journey for a very long time. Now today, with your business right now, what are you seeing? What are you working with your customers on? Kind of what's top of mind?
It's very interesting. We've been kind of on this evolution of our business model as well, as you said. And it was, it's intriguing to hear even someone like President Clinton, who is basically evangelizing the same message that we've been talking about around, how to get to the cloud, what is it, and so on. So, what we're seeing and what we're really focusing on are three main things. One, obviously, being the kind of the evolution of the file server and that file services model going to OneDrive for business and some of those kind of things that, mm-hmm. that are either concerns or opportunities that go with it.
Yep.
The second being the cloud app model in general. And kind of the transition from trusted code to cloud mode. And again, some of the things that go along with that. And then the third, and probably the most interesting, is the self-service BI, or the basically having insights at multiple layers of the organization, not just at the boardroom.
Got it. And when you're working with customers on those areas, what is it they're trying to solve, just to give color in terms of kind of the things they're trying to do and why, what causes them to think about moving to those?
Yes. So, certainly the biggest challenge that we saw in the early days of SharePoint was really getting it unlocked from IT and getting it out there, letting CIOs feel comfortable about it. Now we're seeing the challenge around, how the users think about things and kind of transitioning from a consumption model to a participation and contribution model. And that's where it's so cool to see how SharePoint and the rest of the online suite kind of working together has the potential to just, as we say, hockey stick or geometrically multiply the capabilities and the value mm-hmm. of the products, where, it transitions from this thing that I consume to this thing that I'm actually contributing in and therefore, raising my value and everything around me.
The organization. Now, yeah. I'm sure that customers, as you're working with them, have challenges and have to kind of overcome different obstacles in transitioning to the cloud. So what are the common things that you work with them on?
Well, I mentioned it very briefly, but certainly the cloud app model mm-hmm. and moving from the web part, and sysadmin type of access controls to
right.
to something that can be service pack independent, patch independent, and so on. Mm-hmm. Getting people to think of it in a different mindset and then actually put the effort toward that, I think, is both the hardest thing, but also the biggest breakthrough when organizations start to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other, certainly this idea of is my information secure and safe?
Yep.
And do I have access to it, and can I do things with it? And certainly, reiterating now that we have the workloads all working together, that's where we see, most organizations are running toward the cloud now versus trying to pick what pieces to put in.
Great. It's been a journey since we started on
it
this
has,
a long time
yeah.
ago. Absolutely. Now, if you think about your business as a partner, right? You're all an on-premises partner back in the day.
Yeah.
Now, what does your business look like now?
It's wholly different.
Okay.
Certainly, the majority of the work that we do is now cloud-focused or ascension to the cloud-focused, really business modernization mm-hmm. Focus more than, getting the next version of Exchange out there and so on. But, what's exciting for us and something I'm super passionate about is this idea of as President Clinton said this morning, this inclusive nature of what we're doing and being able to go forward with that. And, for us as partners and for the customers in the room, which I hope there are many, there is this opportunity to really look at, the people in your organization, the processes in your organization, and how can you solve those big challenges that are not, 1x out, they're 10x out. But now we can start focusing on those, which is fantastic for me as a partner. I now see a future to our organization and where we fit within this cloud model and so on.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank
Working
you.
For many, many years. Appreciate
All right.
it. All right. Great. All right. Now, we talked about it, giving you some high-level ideas. You saw some future stuff this morning. I actually want to now turn over and join have a colleague come up and actually show you. And everything we're going to show you now is actually today. Not the future stuff that you saw this morning, it's actually today. And some of it you may never have seen. So it might feel future, but it actually is right now. So go ahead, Michael, if you wanna come on up.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have Michael do a demonstration of essentially what's the day in the life of living in the full experience of Office 365 look like across devices. So
All
go
right.
ahead, Michael.
You should take a break, you've had a long morning. All right, morning everybody. This is fun. I don't get often to say that the President of the United States opened for me, so I'm going to use that as my, that's what I told my mom. So I'm going to give you a quick look at what Office looks like today, what it's like to live in Office 365. And I'm going to switch to the machine that I'm demoing from first so that you can see it too. Cool. Awesome. I've got this wonderful Surface Pro 2 right here in front of me. It's running Office 365 Professional Plus, which is awesome. And I'm going to start in an application that a lot of you guys and girls out here all, I'm sure, operate in every day, which is Word. Most popular app out there for Office, used every day by billions. And the first thing you'll notice that's different about Office, if you aren't using today's Office, is that Office greets me by name now. That's because I'm logged into Office. And because I'm logged in, that means settings, things like this, as simple as this cloud image in the background, roam with me to this machine. It means that my most recently used documents roam with me to this machine. So you can see that Northwind Proposal and these other documents that I've used recently, all stored in the cloud and all available to me right here, sit here, even if this is the first time I've ever used this machine. In fact, if I open that Northwind Proposal, whoa, I lost the little thing. I'm going to do that one more time because... I promise, Office remembers... Actually, I'm going to do it because I love doing demos over and over again just to prove a point. Office even remembers the last place. Oh, okay, I quit. Office even remembers the last location you were editing in that document. It can jump right to it. The other great thing about Office now is because we're logged in, because we're cloud connected, means saving is by default to the cloud. Whether that's OneDrive for Business or my personal OneDrive, both available right here in the document, I can easily and quickly save to the cloud. And that's important because we want to get these documents off of our machines and into the cloud where they can be available to us on devices, backed up, secure, always available. And in this case, one of the things that I know all of you do is a behavior that you'll see right here in the background is you save documents to your desktop. There's at least some percentage of people in this room that are still doing that. I had a conversation not too long ago with a rather large financial institution based in New York City, I'm guessing you'd recognize the name, that tells me that they lose an average of one laptop a day in New York City cabs. And that's tough luck for the people that did all that hard work on that document right there sitting on the desktop. So we want people to drag that document right into OneDrive for Business. And just that simple, you can move information from your C drive to your OneDrive. Also, as we look at the OneDrive UI right here in the web, you can also very quickly navigate your files. Like, how often do names of files get sort of long and convoluted and hard to find? Maybe you're not totally sure you're looking at the right document. I can click this and bring up a preview of the document. In this case, what I'm looking at right there is not a still image. I'm actually looking at Word Online loaded in this little UI so that I can quickly take a look and say, oh yeah, that's the document that I meant to open. And in fact, what I want to do is make sure, you can see right here that it's shared with a whole bunch of my colleagues right here, whether that's Robin, Garth, or Bonnie. And if I want to share it with more people, I very quickly go in here and type somebody's address in here. There's Active Directory automatically pulls up names so I don't have to finish it. I can click share and I can... And just like that, I've added Alex to this document. If I click back in here, we see now Alex, one more person, Alex Darrow, is also editing this document. But one of the things that Julia talked about earlier was how social Office is now and how important social is to us every day in the work we do. And a root of that, how social Office is certainly at the heart of it, is collaboration. And so let's collaborate on this document. I want to actually take a look at this, and I'm just going to jump into the web, Word Online right here just by expanding that window out to full screen and edit right here on the web. Some of you may have noticed that just last week we actually announced some updates to Word Online, PowerPoint Online, Excel, and OneNote Online. Really caps a year of a really rapid innovation in these in this version of Office that's on the web. And I want to show you, before I jump into the editing part of this, I want to show you a new feature that I think is really cool. I know a lot of times I'm trying to get something done. Let's say I'm going to want to insert a grid right here to add some information to the doc. I might not remember exactly where in that ribbon the insert grid command is, or even if it's called insert grid. So I'm just going to click in this little box right up top that says, tell me what you want to do. And I'm going to say I want to insert a grid. And you can see Office suggests a few things that might actually be the ribbon commands I'm looking for. In this case, insert table is actually what I'm looking for. And if I hover over it, you can see right in that UI, I can actually insert the table just like that without having to find it in the ribbon. Yeah, that's all right. You can clap. You're allowed to clap. Clap a lot. The, now, the other thing you'll notice is, look, Ma, no hands. Three of my colleagues are actually actively editing this document. One of them happens to be me, and that's because I was editing it in the desktop version of Word, so I'm actually editing the doc in two locations. But Garth and Robin are sitting there changing the table. You can see them changing it right there in front of you, co-authoring, collaborating, and really getting work done rapidly together. And you can see if I hover over these little heads, I can see Robin's changing this, and over here Garth is changing, well, he stopped changing that. Now, once we're done with editing this document, we want to go back and I want to share this document that we've been collaborating on with all of my colleagues because I think it's important that everyone see the Northwind and Contoso proposal. So I'm just going to post it to Yammer. And you can see that I can, just with one click, post it. I could notify specific people or change the text, but I'm just going to post it just like that. And just like that, I've posted it to Yammer. And if I want to get to my Yammer feed to see what people are talking about relative to the post I just made, well, I can just click right here. There's Yammer is integrated right into the Office 365 header at the top here, which is great. I have that feed already open, and you can, in fact, see right here that post just 20 seconds ago just landed in my Yammer feed. And once I land in my Yammer feed, here I am in this very familiar social environment with the experiences I expect. I can see this post that I made back a week ago, and I see that I made it to the sales group. If I want to like Alex's comment here, I can like it. If I want to write it, you can see right here that when I posted this, I hashtagged sales offerings, which actually resulted in a tag of sales offerings to the whole conversation. So if any of my colleagues are looking out for sales offerings conversations, they can find that really easily. I actually think that this is relevant to the marketing group too. And if I want to add the marketing tag, actually all I need to do is hashtag marketing right here. And then that'll actually add the tag to the Yammer post so that people following marketing will see it. And in this case though, I also want to make sure that one of my colleagues, and this is Bonnie Kearney, who you see show up a lot in videos and such. She's very popular. I'm going to go ahead and type her name right here. Bonnie Kearney, you see Active Directory auto-completes that. I don't actually have to know the full email address or username of her in Yammer. I just type first few letters. And now after posting that, I've hashtagged the post as marketing, and I've alerted Bonnie Kearney. So just that simple, a nice, streamlined, easy experience. You can also see that, in fact, Yammer is recommending some groups based on my behavior that I might want to follow. In addition, one of them happens to be the marketing group, since I seem to be talking about marketing a lot. So I'm going to go ahead and join that group. You can see that I've joined it. Marketing's just shown up over here on the left-hand side. And I can click on it right there, jump to the marketing group, and you'll see that conversation that I just hashtagged with marketing is right at the top, because I just added it to the marketing group. This is what it's like to operate in the new Office. To Office 365 today is this simple, easy interfaces, streamlined experiences. This is how you get work done with Office 365. Now, it's important to have an integrated, streamlined experience on this device for sure, but we know that you, and for me too, when I walk out of my office with sometimes only my phone in my hand, I still need to keep working from where I was before. So I'm going to switch to a phone just to give you a sense of what that looks like. So this is an iPhone. You may have heard of them. I hear they're getting popular. And what you see on this iPhone, that's a lowercase I. Is a whole bunch of applications that Office is actually delivering to the iPhone to help you get work done, even if you choose to carry this device out. We know it's important that we help bring the Office 365 experience to you, whatever device you choose, and we're invested heavily in making that real for you. And in this case, you can see there's a OneDrive for Business app, Link 2013, OneNote. I know there's a recently converted OneNote user in the front row that Julia called out earlier for using pen and paper still. There's OWA, and then there's that Yammer app. I'm going to go ahead and open the Yammer app. You'll see my feed refresh. As soon as the wireless network responds, you can see that post. There's that post that I just responded to in Yammer. There's the marketing hashtag and the Bonnie Kearney mention at the bottom. So there's Yammer. Just I walked out the door. I'm still working in Yammer. I'm still having that same conversation with my colleagues. I'm also going to jump into Office Mobile right here, which is your way to access your Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents right here on the iPhone. And in this case, you can see my most recent documents because I'm logged in here too, so Office brings my most recent documents to me so I can access them from the phone. I'm going to jump into this annual report. You can see one of the most important things about our investments in Office across devices is that you can always be assured that when you're opening an Office doc in Office, wherever that Office exists, wherever you're working in Office, things like images and charts and graphs and the full file fidelity of that document will always be preserved, no matter what you do to the doc. And in this case, you can see some of those charts down here in tables near the bottom. I can also do some lightweight editing on this. Like maybe I want to change this title a little bit. You can see I get a very form factor appropriate version of the ribbon here with some commands that I can maybe do underline and italics to that title so that I don't have to go back to my desk to do that. And in this case, because I'm logged into Office, again, all my changes are being saved to OneDrive. I don't have to worry about where this file is, and I know I'll be able to access it from wherever I'm logged into Office. So let me go back to my Surface over here. That was enough iPhone for me for the day. So I'm going to jump right now. I'm going to jump right now into another application that I know I'm confident that a great majority of the people, if not all of you, live in. That's Outlook. So Outlook right here is a great example of how we have rebuilt Office with touch in mind. So you're looking at Outlook. It's still very familiar, but there's a few things different on this form factor that helped me use the real estate as best as possible. My folders are still here, but I keep them out of the way for me so that they're not interrupting the real estate. My ribbon commands are here, but they're hidden out of the way so that I can really maximize real estate. You can see over here on the right-hand side, there's some quick actions. I'll use my mouse to point it out. Some quick actions over here that, you know, if I rip this keyboard off and pick it up, that's right where my thumb is if I want to hit delete. So really straightforward way for me to use Outlook in a sort of touch-friendly way. Now, there's other things relevant to Outlook that I think are really important modern investments for you to take a look at, and I'm going to show you one right now. I mentioned that financial services company, New York, laptop a day in the taxi cab. Well, it was a bummer for the person that produced the content that they had to rebuild that dock that they left on their desktop instead of storing in OneDrive. But it was also a bummer for the corporation that sensitive corporate information was being lost and put at risk. Overall, investments in protecting the intellectual property and sensitive business data of an organization is a high-priority investment area for us. And data loss prevention technologies and Outlook can help you do that. And I'm going to give you an example of that right now. So in this case, I'm typing an email to a colleague of mine, let's say Bonnie Kearney. I'm going to send her an email really quick, and I'm going to just quickly type. I didn't really think real hard about typing that, and I fat-fingered it a little bit. And the first thing that happened is that you see a little thing at the top here called a mail tip. Mail tip popped up just to let me know that I'm sending this to someone outside the organization. Now, that's just one of those little helpful things to try to prevent me from making an unintentional mistake. And mail tips like that can really be really help you out. Now, let's pretend I'm really lightning speed right here, and I didn't notice that at all. I'm going to go ahead and keep working as if I thought I typed Bonnie. I'm going to attach an Excel spreadsheet with some customer data that I want to send to Bonnie, and I'm ready to click send. And I'm sure I'm all set. And then another thing pops up. This is a policy tip. So my mail tip warned me that it's outside the organization. Now my policy tip, this is a little more urgent. This message can't be sent because it appears to contain sensitive information. Now I'm going to try to send it, but no luck. And if I hover over this policy tip, I can see that this message may contain credit card numbers. And it turns out that spreadsheet has been hit highlighted because it contains customer credit card numbers. And my organization has said, no, you don't send credit card numbers to people outside the organization. So then I realize, oh, Bob at Tailspin, I didn't want to do that. That's totally not what I want to do. Let's get Bonnie in there. She's Bonnie K, right? Yeah, there she is. And let me attach that file again. You notice I didn't get the mail tip about outside the organization, so I'm probably all set. I'm going to go ahead and click send on this because now I've got my email right, but now there's another policy tip. Turns out same policy tip, kind of. Message can't be sent because it appears to be contain sensitive information. There's a slight difference here. There's an override button. So if I try to click send, I can't. But because my organization trusts me to make a business decision to override this policy if I need to, I can break the glass and click send. Because we don't want, as Julia said, to have security and compliance technologies get in the way of users being productive. We want you to decide how best to implement security and compliance technology in your organization so that you can keep your company secure and manage risk the way you need to. And this is one example. Now, there's another place that Outlook really shines, and that's in the developer model for Office that was mentioned in the keynote this morning, that Julia mentioned again. And apps for Office are really exciting because they give you this opportunity to sandbox really rich interactive apps in an environment within all the Office applications that protects them from crashing Office applications or while still being super functional and super helpful and from a productivity experience. In this email from Robin, I've got three different apps for Office right up here above the body: Suggested Meetings, Bing Maps, and LinkedIn. First, I'm going to jump into the suggested meetings app. It looks to me like a meeting is being suggested in this email. It turns out the suggested meetings app knew that. It detected that in the text, and it threw this thing up. Hey, look, suggested meetings here. We think we found a meeting. Maybe you just want to schedule that. And just like that, in two clicks, I've got a meeting request open, ready to go, as an example. Now, there's also an address in this. This is the address of a Starbucks quite close to Redmond's campus that most Microsofties in the room will have had a coffee at some point. But just in case I don't remember how to get the Starbucks I've been going to for 12 years, I'm going to click the Bing Maps app. Now, you see the Bing Maps app says, we think we found an address. Hey, there's that location. Now, this isn't a static image. This is an interactive, live HTML5 app running in the web that's being surfaced right inside this nice little window. And I can zoom in, I can turn it, I can do all sorts of things. And there's that Starbucks that we've all been to if you've been to Redmond. You can see I can jump out to the Bing site if I need to. So those are two great examples that Microsoft built. But the developer model is something that empowers developers and partners to build plugins like this, apps like this, into all of the Office apps. And LinkedIn, an example of somebody who did a really great app for Outlook, which is relevant, I think, to all of us. How many times you get an email from somebody that you just kind of remember the name of, but you don't really remember what they do, but you really want to reply and not look like an idiot. And maybe at least pretend you know them. So LinkedIn's going to make you look just a little bit smarter. By popping up the public profile data or if you're authenticated, if you know them, if you're a connection, the more information about the people in this email. In this case, Robin and me. Oh, yeah, Robin's, that's right, she's in consumer electronics at the company. So now I can reply and say something about consumer electronics and look smart, and LinkedIn helps me look a little smarter in this case. Super compelling, and you can imagine scenarios like UPS tracking numbers and sales data from your corporate sales database. Very interesting ways to change. And all these applications can be installed across Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and as well as Outlook. So let's move a little bit beyond the desktop now and talk about this device a little bit more. We've got this great Surface Pro, which is a form factor that more and more of you are carrying, whether it's a Surface in your hand or not. You have a device in your hand that you're investing in from a company perspective and for your users and employees that are more and more capable of doing things with touch and digital linking scenarios. And we want to build applications that better take advantage of that native device and hardware integration and make sure we give you a really immersive experience. One of the best examples of an application that does that in Office is the OneNote Windows Store app. And I'll open that up really quick here. So this is a version of OneNote totally reimagined for a device like this that really has rich digital linking and touch experiences. You can see these big notebook page links that let me jump through and see my OneNote notes. It's not just a bigger button, it's a button with more information on it. In this case, some text from the note, including the image at the top. But it's still easy to use. And if I want to go in and make some changes, I can highlight this text. If I want to edit that text, I've got this great thing over here called the radial menu that pops open and lets me do some basic things do rich editing, actually, like just dial up the font size, maybe change the font color to something I like better. I like blue, I don't like that blue, I like that blue. And just like that, I've modified the text size. Now, what if I also want to, in this case, I want to take advantage of the camera on this device as well, another piece of hardware on it that's relevant to note-taking, right? So I just jump into this text, I hit the camera, and there we go. Now I can take a picture. Lighting's a little bit funky right here, so maybe I'll change the camera to the front. How about that? Okay, there we go, guys. Everybody see? I'll smile. Just like that, I've got this picture right here. But, I want to crop it. Let's make this look like my old badge photo from when I started at Microsoft in 02. That's probably about how enthusiastic I was. Stick it in. There it is. And I can move it around if I need to, wherever I need it in the dock. I can pick up a stylus. This is this capacitive stylus. Man, these things are magic, right? I can go in here. Let's go ahead and make some changes here. When I started at Microsoft 12 years ago, I think I looked a little more like this. Yeah, that's probably a little more realistic for what I looked like back in 02. A little less shiny, a little less forehead. But that's a really great example of how touch and digital ink are really changing the way we're using devices like this. This isn't about ink for the purpose of text. This is about ink for writing things down. I know there's a gentleman that I was sitting near earlier that I saw taking notes digitally, and I think he was recording the presentation in OneNote right over here. That's great. That's awesome. That's the way we take notes, and we have to be able to do it in a modern way on a device like this. So let me jump into one more application on this device, another one that Julia mentioned, an app that everybody knows and loves, which is Excel. So what you're looking at right here is something that some people in your organization somewhere have experienced, if not you, which is one person in your team down over here takes a big copy-paste out of a sales database. And then they send it to somebody more junior over here and say, hey, can you clean this up? We need to do a mail merge with it, so can you figure out all this data? And that person then deep sigh, and then they start typing and retyping all of the data for the rest of the day to make sure that the mail merge will work or that they can take whatever action they need to take. So I'm going to start that process right here. I'm going to say, Nancy, I see Nancy F at AOL.com. Oh, that's one, 782 to go. And then I'm going to type Andy. But Excel says very politely, hey, look. Very politely offers to do what I did in the first row and every other row, and I accept. Now imagine thousands of lines of this. Hours of time spent parsing out data. So much time savings right in that. I'd even formatted the email addresses correctly. But let's do it one more time. Let's look at the address. Let's go 123 First Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 98101. And then 12. And there we go, the whole address. But wait, what happened? Excel didn't know exactly what to do with the fact that some of these lines have the address twice. But that's okay. I can teach it to do the right thing. I'm just going to go in and edit this line. I'm going to delete all the text before that, hit return, and Excel will figure it out. So that is the sexiest thing Excel can do, in my opinion. So the now, I mentioned earlier also that the apps for Office that you can be written and then installed across Office applications. Let's take a look at the Bing Maps app that we were looking at earlier in Excel. Let's see what it does in this case. In this case, it's got a whole bunch of different addresses to work with. In this case, we've got pins for where our customers are located, and we can go in and we can zoom in and move things around if we need to and figure out where exactly our customers are located and how far distributed they are across the globe. And that's a really cool way to use apps for Office as well. All right, so enough with the surface right now. I'm going to take a look at one more gigantic piece of hardware that you may have noticed that's up here. I think I got it. Cool. All right, this. About a little less than 2 years ago, we bought a company called Perceptive Pixel. They make this gigantic phablet, which is an 82-inch capacitive touchscreen. And I joke with the phablet, but this is really like your phone screen. This is your phone screen at 82 inches. 100 points of touch. You can do all sorts of play Fruit Ninja on this thing. It's killer. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something that I think you'd want to do if this thing was sitting in your imagine this in a conference room in your company. We're going to jump in. And we're going to actually join a meeting, a link meeting. We're logged into link right here, and I'm just going to go ahead and join that. We're going to join the link meeting. I'm going to get over here to the side so I can interact. Come on, link. Come on, link. Come on, link. Come on, event network. Has everybody had any problems with the wireless network or anything? Come on, link. Ouch. Okay, this may not be the best demo. We may be playing Fruit Ninja in a second. I'll give one more chance. Come on, Link. All right, good. We've got a meeting already going on with my team. We got a whole bunch of people, and we've got high-definition video conferencing going on. Hi, team. Let me start my video so they can see me. Now, you see, I get this preview, so I get to decide if there's too much shine on my forehead or anything before I start it. But once I start it, they can all see me, so we can all wave. Hi, I got a camera on the corner. Hey, guys, that's awesome. Cool. Well, I'll tell you, once I've got this meeting going, if this is a physical meeting, what do we want to do? The first thing we want to do is we want a whiteboard, right? So let's go in and let's open a whiteboard. And this isn't just a normal whiteboard. This is a shared whiteboard. This is a whiteboard that we're all interacting with. Which means that I can write, I can pick up my pen, pick my pen color. I like red. I'll go ahead and write some things in here and see if anybody else on my team wants to. Oh, they got a control. There we go. SPC rocks. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. I agree. I'm going to check. Very good. Awesome stuff, guys. That's great. Now we've done some whiteboarding. It's time to look at that presentation that we've been working on. We're going to, you know, in a conference room, we bring it up. So let's bring it up in this link meeting right here. Some of my colleagues are already working on it. And what you're seeing now is actually PowerPoint Online right here integrated into the link app so that we can load the presentation directly in. There it is. This isn't just a whole bunch of images. This is PowerPoint Online running from the, you know, in an integrated web instance right here. I can browse through my slides and take a look. If I want to maybe make some changes, I noticed there's some issues with this. So I'm going to go ahead and grab my red pen again. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say, hey, this isn't 1974. This is 1972. You know? So just so everybody remembers. This one's right. That one's right. Check. So we've gotten our PowerPoint presentation exactly like we want it. The next thing I want to do is make sure that we have a written record of this meeting. We want to make sure we open our shared notes, right? That's the next thing we need is notes for our meeting. So let me open a shared OneNote. It looks like Teams already got one going. Yep, meeting notes. As soon as I open it up, what you see is that link pops up really quick and inserts all the relevant meeting details from the meeting that I was in right in here. All the people that were attending, who added the image. Looks like Rob Young added that. I get a little option up here. Maybe I want that presentation to be downloadable by anybody who has access to meeting notes. So I say allow download. That'll let people actually pull the PowerPoint presentation out. You can see it just got added to the OneNote notebook, and that's super awesome. Now, how many of you use OneNote in the room? Oh, awesome. It's great, isn't it? How many of you knew that you could do this and dock it directly to a link? Oh, no hands. Oh, a hand over there. Awesome. I'm going to go back really quick so I can get a pen. There we go. Now I've got my shared notes. I've got my PowerPoint presentation that we're all iterating on. I've got my high-definition video chat right here. I can remind everybody that 1972, we got to make sure we remember 72. Don't forget about that. This is devices and services. This is operating in Office 365 today. This is what you get when you come to the modern Office experience. This is awesome stuff. The world's biggest phablet with Office 365. That's my show, guys. Julia, you want to come back up?
Nice job. Thank you. So hopefully that gave you a sense. I know we kind of did the whirlwind, soup to nuts, in terms of what a day in living in Office 365 looks like and stuff maybe you weren't aware of before. So very cool. And just as you know, I actually have this device in my office. So this is instead of a whiteboard, I have this. So when I get up to do meetings, I do exactly what Michael just did. That's what I do in my everyday life. And we're bringing the cost of these down dramatically so that we can, oh yeah, thanks, switch mover. Everyone can have that experience, not just Microsoft employees. So I want to wrap up. Before I let you go, though, and I know I'm getting hungry, I want to close on talking about what we're doing from an overall enterprise-grade cloud, because this is probably the top conversation I have with CIOs and IT directors around. I'm sold on the experience. I want to go there, but what about security? What about compliance? What are you doing? And I would say at a meta level, I'm not going to rattle off all the things we're doing, and Jeff spoke to it a little bit, but essentially our approach on this is we want to have the most transparent approach of anyone in the industry. And also we want to make sure that we're leading. This is a key area of differentiation for Microsoft. We have a ton of people working around the globe with government agencies and different organizations and banks and regulators to make sure that we are both kind of bringing case law down, because right now it's a lot of gray. A lot of it's not as well documented. So getting case law and then meeting those requirements. So working day in and day out about that. If you want to know exactly what we're doing, as I said, we're being as transparent as we can possossibly be. And we have what's called the Office 365 Trust Center, where we have everything you want to know about how we run our service, what requirements we meet, what compliance, what right to audit, those type of things, again, publicly available. So you can read about it and you can share it within your organization to help think through all the different implications on that front. The other aspect, too, is one size doesn't fit all. We know that. Organizations need to move at their own pace through the cloud. And so we continue, as Jeff said, to ship the next round of servers on-premise and clients, of course, too, and then fully support all of the hybrid versions of that, too. So you can decide how you want to move that journey to the cloud and make it at your pace in the way that works for your organization. And I would say the vast majority of customers I work with have some aspect of their organizations running on-premise and some in the cloud, whether it be a certain country, a certain department, a certain organization, a certain set of users. It is it's very common, very, very common. We've done a lot of that on that front. And continuing to back it with our SLA, financially backed, as well as customer support, 24/7 global as well. Absolutely critical. We realize that if you're going to trust us to run your mission-critical information, we have to make sure you can support it too, as you would expect. So, in closing, we talked about the future this morning. What I showed you today and what we talked about today is actually here, but in some sense, it is the future. And so if you haven't already explored moving to the cloud, I encourage you to and spend this week thinking more about it. And again, I'd love to talk as many of you as possible while we're here this week. So enjoy the rest of your SharePoint conference. Thanks.